The White House is turning to open source developers for security solutions, online forms that capture your information before you click submit. American Airlines switches to Microsoft Azure as its operational backbone, and is health information being collected to send you health ads? All that and more next on The Computer Doctor Show.
You're listening to The Computer Doctor Show, your source for technology subjects affecting your business and personal life during this new normal. Your host is an award-winning office technician and IT specialist, author, tutor, ethical hacker, and recent winner on localbest.com as the best computer shop in Tucson. Broadcasting live, here's Aaron Moss.
Good afternoon, everyone. Welcome to the Computer Doctor Show, your headquarters for up-to-date scam awareness, science, and cutting-edge technology talk. This is episode 91. I'm Aaron Moss, your host. Thanks for tuning in with us every Saturday at 2 p.m. We post all of our shows and bonus content on computerdoctorshow.com. Again, computerdoctorshow.com. We love to hear from you, so give us a call during the show with your computer, internet, and cybersecurity comments and questions on our open studio line, 520-790-2040. Co-hosting today is Rob from the Cast, the Unscrewed Theater.
Oh, good afternoon, Aaron. I'm happy to be back.
All right. Be back. You went to Florida. I went to Las Vegas, and we're back here in studio. And so everything's kind of back to normal. Things are opening up. We feel good, right?
Right, so far.
We just want to show some love to the expert technicians at Perfection Auto Works. The real estate market is getting kind of crazy here in Tucson. Lots of people are moving in from other states, and property values have shot way up. Rents are just out of control. So if you know anyone that's moving into Tucson, into town here, that has a car, send them over to Perfection Auto Works. Mike Emery and his team of expert technicians have a free 22-point inspection on your car, and they love meeting new people and new cars in town. So give them a call for an appointment, 520-323-8650. Again, 520-323-8650. We're going to get into our tech news for this week. Some things have happened, and, online forms that we fill in almost on a regular basis. Any form where you're filling out your name, your address, your phone number, your email address, those are all considered forms online. But did you know that the server, I guess, or the developers or the people behind that website, the webmasters, if they program that form in a special way, completely unbeknownst to you, there is a way that form can be looking at your typing as you're typing it out before you even hit the submit button.
So it knows what a bad typer I am, is what you're telling me.
Right. So now, let's say that you're putting in, like loan information, or like you're applying for like a bank loan or something. There's a way that the bank could know if you're fibbing, different addresses and trying different phone numbers, or you're trying different things to make the system work. Let's say that you put in this information and it denies you. You put in that information, denies you. It could actually know, potentially, if you're putting in different any pieces of information in there.
Since I just like messing with forms to see what they do, I do that sort of thing all the time for fun.
Right. So now, unfortunately, there's no way to know ahead of time if a form is actually programmed this way. I suppose if you get some sort of traffic reader program, you could actually see if the traffic or the upload, if it's upload every time you're hitting a key, you can see it if you monitor the traffic on the internet. But outside of that, there's really no other way to tell, as far as I know, if there's an online form that's actually doing this.
There's no way to look at the source code of the page and see it's not embedded in there somewhere if you're one of those people like digging into the source code?
I don't think that is a source code that you would even be able to see even on the within a browser. But you bring up a good point there. There might be a line of code that would be there if that was their intention, but it may not be the code that actually sends it. JavaScript usually, you can't usually pick up JavaScript or PHP code because that's done on the server side. But if it's something that's embedded within the HTML side or the client side, then yes, it might be. But there's several ways that it can be done. Me, I've come from a PHP background, so I know how it can be done on a PHP on the server side. I don't know of a way that it can be done on the client side, but...
Or if there's any residual clue on the client side that you could pick up.
Right. So all we can do, ladies and gentlemen, is just be aware that some might be in that way. So if you're trying to put in private information, look it up, okay? And also you have to be careful when it automatically fills in your data. If you have data that's automatically filled in, like your automatic name, email address, phone number, that kind of thing, if that is automatically filled in, but you don't want this particular company to have that information, you want to put in different information, if it auto fills in, they will see that other information, and they will also see the information that you've submitted, but they'll also see the information that you didn't want to submit. So just be aware of that. And unfortunately, you know, that's the type of world that we live in. You know, we have to trust the privacies of these companies. So make sure you're checking the reputation of anytime you're filling out a form online. Obviously, you always want to make sure that it is encrypted, that it has that padlock on the top. It starts with HTTPS.
Yep.
That S stands for secure. And make sure that it's to a company that you know of and trust, or you come to understand of their good reputation. So that's one good tip for you. Also, the White House is turning to open source for developers for security. So a little bit about open source. Open source is a software or program platform with source code that is already readily accessible and which can be modified or enhanced by anyone. So I can get a operating system, and if there's something that I don't like, if it's open source, I can go in, change the code, and then re-release it as the Aaron operating system. And then I can show you my version, and if you don't like the version that I modified, then you can go in and you can change what you don't like, and you can release the Rob operating system, you know? So that's a little bit about open source. Now, the U.S. government needs open source security development to fix 10 major open source security problems. And they're doing this because they're restructuring the backbone of a new infrastructure system. Reform is underway. And this comes after major vulnerabilities have been found after Colonial Pipeline cyber attacks, SolarWinds cyber attacks over the past few years. But since October of 2020, companies like Amazon, Ericsson, Google, Intel, Microsoft, and VMware have been pooling their resources into a foundation called OpenSSF, or Open Source Security Foundation. It's recently caught the eye of the White House, which is calling for an additional $150 million. There's $30 million in that program now, but they're calling for an additional $150 million to fix known security flaws in open source platforms. So it's interesting that the White House is now involved in open source. We have Mark on line one. He has a question for us. Hello, Mark. Welcome to the Computer Doctor Show.
Yes, I have two questions, but here's my zero comment. Is I love your show. You need to get more time.
Yes.
Anyway, so the two questions are, my new laptop, anyway, it's asking all the time to upgrade to 11, and I've been so shy about doing that because I'm afraid of a variety of things. Mm-hmm. Is there anything I should be concerned about upgrading this early in the Windows 11 life?
What I'm telling my customers now, you can do the upgrade to Windows 11. But you need to decide quickly within 7 days or 30 days, I believe, before because when you do that upgrade, it will give you the ability to go back if things don't work out too well. Some of the things you have to be concerned about, a lot of accessories, compatibility of your printer, compatibility of your other accessories, your sound, your video card are often things that get complicated. Also, if this is your main computer that you do all of your work on, I would still hold off and maybe do it to your other computers, computers that you don't mind if they don't work too well. Do all of those updates first, okay? And then kind of do this last one. But obviously, if you ever run into any problems, Mark, you can always give me a call or call back here on the show.
And then the second question is, you're talking about open source, and I'm wondering if I should get off of my, I have Windows 360, and if I should get off of my Microsoft addiction and go to open source, and what am I going to lose?
The biggest thing that you're going to lose is compatibility when you're sending and receiving documents. A lot of people, what they like to do, like if you were to type something up and then send it as a document file, like in an email, when you have to know how to change that into a .doc or even a PDF. PDF is the all devices by now are able to open and view PDFs. All browsers, most devices. We're talking Apple, Windows, Linux. Just about all these platforms are able to open up a PDF. But when you go to these other what you're talking about is Microsoft Office versus OpenOffice,
right.
Or even LibreOffice, which is which started in the Linux environment. So those are Office programs that are 100% free. They're open. They're general public use. They are open source, and they can be effective, but they need to be modified in such a way if you're going to be sending your work or those documents that are being created to other people.
And then there's the fear of nefarious activities with the open source. Is that an issue with that?
There are lots of revisions. There are good distributions and there are bad ones. Usually the good ones are the ones that end up being more popular, and the bad ones end up just falling into disrepute, and they end up falling out of favor with the general public because it is a general public. If they find a problem with it, there's going to be developers that are going to be finding the problems and then redistributing better ones. So in that case, the good guys usually win because you make it public. But in other cases with like Microsoft Office, where it's kind of coordinated by a large corporation, that's where you run into some problems. And then you're relying on just one company to fix your problems. But we do have to go to a commercial break. Mark, thanks for your phone call.
Just another great thing about your show. Mm-hmm. You're quick on getting your show uploaded so that I can always go back and listen to parts of it.
All right, excellent. And we're going to be uploading this episode on Tuesday as well. One more thing before we go to the commercial break. The world's largest airline, American Airlines, switches to Microsoft Azure as its operational backbone. They're trying to save some money on taxi time, routing, and runway information, gate assignments, crew updates, and they're going to be doing a lot of things to their app. So they're going to be moving to the app level. So we're going to take our midway commercial break with a word from our sponsors. Up next, science and tech history from this week, and what kind of health information is being collected on you to send you more ads. This is the Computer Doctor Show. Stay tuned.
Perfection Theater presents alternative endings to classic movies.
There he is, Buford. If I'd done blew them away with my shotgun, would that pep you up some?
Sure would.
Hang on, Billy. We have trouble.
I have one word for them.
I heard that, you some...
Hey, Buford, that poor guy's only got one finger.
Give me that shotgun, you dumb... Hey, it's jammed, dadgummit.
Hey, Buford, that smoke pouring out of the engine.
Oh, shit.
You shut up.
Son of a...
You was gonna take it to perfection.
Where to now, Billy?
Let's just see more of this beautiful land called America. They obviously didn't have their truck serviced at Perfection Auto Works.
Saved our lives, man.
Sometimes life is just too easy, but don't just rely on luck for your next adventure. And get that car or truck inspected before that summer trip. 323-8650 and perfectionautoworks.com.
The Computer Doctor Show is proud to support National Distracted Driving Awareness Month. Nothing is more important than getting to your destination safely. Use your phone and other technology only when you're safely parked. Help save lives. For more information, visit phonesdownjustdrive.com. Phones down, just drive. It's the law.
Computer Doctor of Tucson is the best choice in desktop support in Tucson. They fix error messages, power and boot problems, install of software and hardware, and much more. You can come to them, or they can come to you, or even have a remote support session so they can fix your issues over the phone quickly. Give them a call at 261-5508, 261-5508. Visit them on the web at ComputerDoctorTucson.com. Computer Doctor of Tucson, because technology is great when it works.
Welcome back to the Computer Doctor Show, your source for scam awareness, science, and cutting-edge technology talk. I'm Aaron Moss, your host, along with Rob, co-hosting today from the Unscrewed Theater. Before we get into our next segment, Rob, what can you tell us about the Unscrewed Theater?
Well, Unscrewed Theater is Tucson's home for improv comedy, the first improv theater that opened in Tucson. And I'd like to just highlight tonight, because it's a special night at the theater. At 6 o'clock, we have Comic Chaos, our family-friendly comic book-style improv show. We do long-form improv on comic books. But at 7:30, we have our 20th anniversary show of Not Burnt Out, Just Unscrewed. The original house team at the theater was founded in May of 2002. So we have this big show tonight with
20 years. Anniversary. Yes.
And I've been with them for 17 years. So with most of that time. So we have past and present players there. It's a big show. And if you buy a ticket to the 7:30 show, you get a free ticket to the 6 o'clock show if you buy online. So if you buy online, you get two shows for the price of one. Should be a big celebration night. Should be a lot of fun.
Should build a grandstand around that place. All right. Great value, great entertainment there at the Unscrewed Theater. Okay, we're going to move to our science and tech anniversary tech history here. And I'm going to turn that over to Rob. Starting with, so there was May 21st, right?
Yes, May 21st. What do we got here? Oh, now I have to get the picture up here. Oh, yes. Okay, this is a fun one. Connecticut becomes the first state to pass a law regulating motor vehicles, limiting their speeds to 12 miles per hour in city and 15 miles per hour on country roads.
Right.
They're flying out there, aren't they?
Connecticut. So if you think about cars, and so 121 years ago, some of the very early motorized carriages were released, and people were starting to pick up some speed, and they started realizing, hey, there's some safety regulations that need to be put in here. So 12 miles per hour in city and 15 miles per hour on country roads.
I'm not sure I want to go much faster on dirt roads at that time anyway.
And by the way, you were not in a vehicle. You were on
a vehicle. Yes.
you don't want to go much past 15 miles per hour.
You get bucked off the vehicle.
There you go. All right, what else we have?
May 23rd, 1892, Kodak was founded by George Eastman and Henry A. Strong. During most 20th century, Kodak held a dominant position in photographic film, and that came to a screeching halt.
Yes, when just about everyone now has a camera on their phone, and when was the last time you actually had film developed? I remember when I had film developed when I was a kid.
It was probably about 10 years ago when I found an old roll of film that wasn't developed from 10 years before that.
I remember when I first saw my first digital camera, I was like, wow, you could actually see the thing that you're actually going to take a picture of on that little screen right there. And then it was to the point where if I saw a camera that did not have a screen, like a viewer finder, it wasn't a real camera, you know? So that's the first thing that I look for. Anytime I look for a camera, you know, for whatever reason, it has to have that screen, you know. All right, so we're past the film era.
Yeah.
So what else do we
May 24th, 1985, AOL founded, and there are still people out there with AOL email addresses, and they just love it. And I will admit, I still have one because I've had it since the 90s, and it's so freaking hard to change everything.
Oh, my God. Yeah, so I know lots of people that still have the AOL. I know we have lots of listeners out there, so hello to all the AOL users out there. You can hoot and holler if you'd like. AOL is 37 years old, and I'm not going to say that they're still going strong, but here are some things that you have to realize about AOL, okay? The market has changed, but they have stayed the same, you know, throughout all this time, and there's not a whole lot of their security. They have an internet security program, but so much has changed, you know, with that. So if you're ever in a position, AOL users out there, please move on to either iCloud email address, Gmail email address. They're free. Okay? So if you're paying for an email address, you need to stop. Okay? Get a Gmail, get an iCloud, or what was the next best email system out there would be the one that you would get with your internet service provider, your ISP. So an Xfinity email address, a Comcast email address, or a Cox email address, those email addresses work pretty well as well.
Well, AOL email addresses are free, so if you're paying for it, just tell them you want to stop paying for it.
Right. They have paid options.
Yeah, they do have paid options. Yeah.
Hotmail is the is part of AOL,
yeah,
right?
I think so, yeah. I think they took them over.
Okay, there you go. What else?
May 24th, 1844, first long-distance Morse code. The first message sent by Morse code's dots and dashes across a, quote, long, unquote, distance traveled from Washington, D.C. to Baltimore.
That was 178 years ago, Morse code. And you know, when we think about when we think about how long distance transmissions were done back then, we had no phones. All they had was the Morse code was the language, but it was actually a telegram. It was a telegram service.
Yeah.
So you would send a telegram, and then the backbone of that would be the Morse code. That's what they would be using for that transmission. And the most important...
May 25th, 1977, first Star Wars movie, Episode 4, A New Hope, which was not called Episode 4, A New Hope, the first time it was released until re-release.
Right?
Yeah, the first one did not happen. And then, of course, when they did the re-release a year or two later, they added Episode 4, A New Hope, and everyone, what? Episode 4?
Well, what happened to 1 and 2 and 3?
Yeah. Very first time it was released, it did not have Episode 4, A New Hope, at the top of the scrawl.
Yeah, it took them 30 years to get to the episodes 1, 2, and 3.
That's back when they released movies every couple of years. It was, the 78 or 79, they re-released the movie, of course, to make more money. And then all of a sudden, they added that in, and everyone went, what?
Yeah.
Episode 4? What's
and
up with
we
this?
Have the prequels and then all the breakoffs and all the side films and all that. So, all right, with the time that we have left, is health information being collected to send you ads?
Yes,
absolutely. We already know that. Now, just in case we don't know, so the information that we enter in on websites about our health, about our age, all of that can be collected into a profile. And funny story, really quick, there was a case of a lady, I think we told this story before in an earlier show, but there was a case where a young lady was pregnant, and she was looking online for some information about where to go and maybe some products about pregnancy and maybe newborns. And one of the places that she went was on Target. So she started getting targeted ads in her mail about pregnancy. The father opens up the mail and sends a nasty letter to Target saying, how dare you say that my daughter is pregnant? So, but...
We didn't, she did. That's what Target's response, basically.
So it's interesting that the ether knows that people are pregnant.
That's why I search for weird medical things sometimes just to confuse them.
Before we wrap up, we just want to thank our sponsor again, Perfection Auto Works, for being a sponsor to our show. Stop by their location near Speedway, Craycroft, for your free 26-point inspection. As always, don't click unverified links in emails or text messages. Use a password manager. Enable two-factor authentication. Verify all incoming and outgoing phone calls. Back up your system to the cloud. Listen to the Computer Doctor Show live on Saturdays and post it as a podcast on Tuesdays. If you missed any part of this episode, go to computerdoctorshow.com, click on episodes, and find episode 91. My name is Aaron Moss, your host and technology expert. Rob was co-hosting today from the Unscrewed Theater. Tom Fairbanks is at the control board. Stay safe, enjoy the rest of your weekend, and we'll talk to you again next week.